We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible. Coming up, the latest on the Kansas Jayhawks from KCSN, which features three shows each week in Border War, hosted by former Jayhawks guard Jeff Hawkins and Mizzou forward Jarrett Sutton. Ain't No Seats with Ryan Reinhart, Anthony Bax, and Braden Turner. And Booth Review, covering Jayhawks football with Kent Swanson and weekly special guests. Make sure to hit that follow button so you don't miss anything. Stay up to date on all things KU with KCSN. And now, the latest on the Kansas Jayhawks.
All right, folks, welcome back. Ain't No Seats podcast. Before we get going, we got to talk about our title sponsor, Emprise Bank. There's more options to do banking now more than ever. Who you work with is more important than how close they are to your home. Emprise has digital banking that meets you where you are, on your phone, on your computer, or even your smartwatch. A trusted partner at your fingertips. Shout out Emprise Bank. Let's get into it, boys. I don't know what we want to call this episode, therapy session, meltdown session. But we brought in now a reoccurring guest, a guy that came on last March or maybe April before the Final Four. He was a he had a future on the Hawks. He was supportive of the Hawks. They came through for him. And he seems to be kind of following pretty closely with this team. We got Rico Bosco from Barstool Sports back. Rico, appreciate you coming back on. First question, though, is are we melting down or are we going to try and be positive?
My first question to you is when I get some kind of banner, ring, T-shirt. Like,
you helped us win
we'll
a title.
On that. I did. I'm on that roster, whether Bill Self wants to admit it or not. People I will. Them. Dude, I was on the plane. Summer in the plane was 95 degrees going to New Orleans. I was doing this. The women and children. Bees down the whole way. I was like, I'm going to fucking kill you guys. And we did. So, you know, whatever. You want to mail a T-shirt, mail a T-shirt. But no, I'm redoing the basement. There will be a team photo with the ticket next to it. People are going to be like, why? Fuck you, that. I'd be like, oh, that was the year I won a title.
We got to get one of our Photoshop guys to just photo Rico on like the trophy ceremony where they're holding it up and just Rico's in the background chilling.
Yeah, the last Photoshop you guys aren't going to be happy with. It was the Kansas State game of the year.
Oh, boy.
You love the Cats now, too.
No. That's football. Listen, you guys, you got game day. All right. Kansas State owns you. I will bet Kansas State. What's the line? Give it to me blind right now next year. I don't care. I don't care if Bruce Bowen's gone. I don't care. Give me K-State. But no, seriously, yeah. So to melt down, no, not really. I just did an hour and a half with Fran Fraschilla, who knows your league better than anybody.
Yeah.
A little teaser. What do you think? I gave him this first question I asked. I said, level of panic. One, you forgot your passport back home and the flight boards in an hour for your honeymoon. Where is the level? What do you think he said?
Oh, man.
Probably pretty low, knowing Fran. One's on the low end, and 10 is – yeah, I bet he did like a 2 or a 3.
Five?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Like, you wrote a good blog that I think a lot of our fan base liked that it was, you know, but that was before we lost the third straight. But you laid it out, right? We still have DeJuan Harris, who He's playing the worst ball of his career, which is a little concerning, but he also, I mean, absolutely drilled his face on the floor in Manhattan. I don't know if that's had something to do with it, but something seems a little off with him. Dewan Harris played in big games. I'm confident he's going to be fine. We've got Jalen Wilson, who's playing as good as ball of anyone in the country right now. And Grady's been, I don't know, a little off, but he got going a little bit last night. So I don't think I'm panicking yet, but I will say, last night was a huge indicator. Our lack of a big man is a big problem.
Yeah,
I mean, we couldn't get rebounds. When we did get stops, they were just getting the ball back. So I don't know. If there was a thing to panic about, do you think that's the panic point? Or is it lack of scoring outside of Jalen and Dick? Like, what should we be most worried about?
I think there's a few things. Obviously, you guys turned me on to the big man, you know. Like, you're like, we got no size. And then having watched it a little bit more, obviously, Dewan Harris, I rave about Dewan Harris. He's got 4 points or 5 points his last four games.
2 for 18 from the floor last five games.
And he was shooting 41% from three. So was like, what are we really looking at here? Was he a fluke that he was shooting that well from three? Does he not want to score? Like, is he not able to go into that role? What the hell's going on? Like, cause he's been MIA, and I loved him. That sequence in the Bahamas where he stole the ball deep, goes down, finds a guy, comes down, takes a charge. Like, I was like, this is just textbook. I thought he was the best point guard, not in an Alabama uniform, in the country. That's just me. Like, those are my guys down there. But no, I mean, he's unbelievable. And he's struggling. I also think you start to worry a little bit now of the depth. Like, what, you know, I give a little bit of like Nova to you last year, where they just didn't have many guys deep, you know? There's a few things. If Dewan Harris is not going to play well, if Grady Dick's going to be up and down, you know, and you guys are going to not shoot it well, and you don't have a lot of depth, that's like three really big things. I don't really know what we can get over. You know, I thought there were a lot of positives. I still considered you like a super team in that top tier. The guards, Wilson's listed as a forward. He's a fucking point forward. He's 6'8". Grady Dick's 6'8". McCullough's 6'6". Like, you guys got size around the guards. You're going to give people a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, if you don't have a true center, they could really own you, you know?
Yeah, and they made it interesting last night, too. KU took a lead. They went up one when Jalen hit that three, and then late, there was like a minute left and we had to get a stop. We get a stop pretty much, but they get the offensive board. So yeah, not having size is terrible. But with Dewan too, he's never been a scorer. Like, and we don't expect him to be a scorer. The thing we love about Dewan is he's super smart. He makes the right decisions, gets guys open looks. And I think last night he made a couple terrible decisions. I know we got a huge stop where we got it close. We had a guy wide open deep and he turned it over. So that's the thing that's worrying me with Dewan right now, is he's not making great decisions. And yeah, he's never been a scorer, but yeah, he's 2 for 18 from the floor the last five games.
I think, like you said, Dewan's not going to become a big time scorer, but he's going to be better than what he's been. So I guess where I want to go next with this is, obviously the stretch doesn't get any easier. Not life in the Big 12 is brutal. We go to Kentucky Saturday, whatever, like, who you lose, it's embarrassing. We got embarrassed last year, but this game doesn't mean much to me. This is a game where we try and get right. We try and just get stuff back under control. But then we get a top five K-State team, which is wild to say, coming to Allen Fieldhouse next Tuesday. Then we go to Ames. It doesn't get easier. So I guess I'll throw this out to all of you, but you specifically, Rico. In 3 weeks, when we kind of sit back down and look at things, do you think this team rattles off three of their next five, or are we looking at, I don't know, 3-3 over the next six? I don't know. Like, that's, I don't I'm know trying to figure three... out how bad this can get.
Yeah, it's weird. KenPom's got the – I saw this the other – or today, I should say. The winner of the Big 12 right now is predicted to be 11-7. 11
oh my God.
And 7. It's a four-way tie. Kansas State, Texas, Iowa State, and Kansas. Baylor at 10-8. TCU at 10-8. TCU is going to go 10-8 in the best league in the country. I think the seeds, they're going to favor you with the seeds. I know it's hard to say, but I look at this as like the 08-09 Big East. Don't be so concerned about the record at the end. Worry about the makeup of the team. So, like, if you don't develop these two centers and you have no depth, you're in trouble. If Dewan Harris plays okay and you win close or ugly or whatever, and then has another bomb off, good bomb off, that's worrisome. Like, just build it. Grady Dick's got to turn himself into a big shot maker superstar. Jalen Wilson's got to get himself into player of the year conversation. So to answer your question, it's weird. I kind of don't think record matters. And I don't think it matters this year when you look. I think there's two teams in tier one in the whole thing. I think it's Bama and probably Purdue. And Purdue's got still a little bit of a blemish to me that they're in the Big Ten. Like, I just don't know if anybody can ever really win in the Big Ten. Now, I just did a couple of minutes with Edie. He's great, and he can change a game, especially in short four minute spots in the tournament, the way that game's played. But, yeah, I guess to answer your question, like, fix the makeup. If the engine's good in the car, you could have a couple of dents on the outside of that record of being like, hey, well, they finished 20-8 or 20-9. It's like we play in a league that nobody else could get through. So that's more of what I would look at. Fix the engine, and you'll still be okay. Because Bill Self, when it comes down to it, is still really good.
Yeah. What'd you guys think? I saw Reeks put out a blog that said Bill mouthed on the sideline. Did you see it where he just apparently
said, I saw that.
These guys are so much better than us. Did he say better or bigger?
Better. Better.
It looked like better. Said
bigger. Yeah. They're both true. But that night, you were just it's the old thing. Like, you get it, that one of the girls gets him at halftime. Coach, what can you do differently? It's like, maybe play with seven guys. Or, like, what did Brian Kelly say in that Alabama game? Maybe they'll get sick in the locker room. Like, what do you want me to do? Sometimes you got to wash your uniforms with them on. It's just not your night. Baylor was better. Now, could you play with Baylor? Absolutely. You can play with anybody in this league. And that's why I said don't panic, because the TCU loss to me was the throwaway. You're like, all right, we got smashed. And the Tennessee game was kind of a little bit of a throwaway. Like, all right, we just couldn't hit anything. It is what it is. You guys didn't lose for fucking 2 months in between that. So, all right, the TCU game is a loss. Couldn't figure it out. Kansas State, you lost by 2. Baylor, you lost by 6. Yeah. Like, it's not full panic mode yet to me.
Yeah, and okay. I will say at the beginning of that Baylor game last night, I thought we were going to get TCU all over again. I thought we were going to lose by 20-plus at one point. They were hitting everything, getting every offensive board. And KU, Baylor was only 37% from the floor, which is kind of shocking because they hit a ton of shots, but – yeah, a lot had to do with turnovers. They scored a lot of points off turnovers and, offensive rebounds. So, but Rye talked about the schedule. Like, you mentioned Iowa State. Like, every night in the Big 12 is going to be tough. It's going to be – Bill even said it after the game last night. There's no bottom feeders like Texas Tech back in the day when they had the dude with the hearing aid and we would beat them by 40 or 50 points. And so, like you mentioned, K-State and Iowa State, after that, they got Texas at home, who's a top 10 team. And then they go to both Oklahoma schools on the road, which they're always tight games there. Like, we're not going to blow anyone out. And then they got Baylor at home, who's a tough matchup. And then at TCU, who we just lost to by 65. So every night in the Big 12 is tough. And, like, I don't know, those
– the way – so I don't know. The way I'm thinking about this is, like you laid out, Rico, we lose to K-State by 2 on the road. We lose at Baylor. If you tell us that at the beginning of the year, nobody's mad. I mean, we didn't know K-State be this good, but you take those losses. Those are fine losses. The TCU loss is one you don't like to lose because we don't lose at home. But to me, if you just go steal one at Iowa State or steal one at TCU, you negate one of those losses with that TCU loss. I think we just got to go out, and we know Bill Self has done this time and time again. He struggles. And February and March comes, and we win some absurd road game, like when we went into Waco when they were number one and win it. So I think this team can do it, but I will say it is just those things we've laid out, the lack of size, the lack of depth. We are like one of the – we use our bench almost, I mean, as little amount about anybody in the country. So there are some glaring weaknesses that I don't think you always see with Kansas teams, but I will agree that I don't think we're quite in panic mode yet.
I think the biggest issue, and this is for the KU fans here, but Rico, I'm sure you have something on it too. We grew up and our minds were formed in that KU won the Big 12 every year, and the regular season always seemed to mean a little bit more than maybe it does to other schools. At the end of the day, and Rico said it, we're probably still going to be a 2, 3, 4 seed, maybe even a 1 if we finish hot. Like, it's just part of college basketball. Like, you're not going to win the conference every single year. And I think we kind of got in that mindset where every single game was the most important thing in the world. And kind of forgot the whole, grasp on college sports in general, where you get to the tournament, you have as good a shot as anyone because yeah, we're probably going to be in Kansas City, right? Like
you got spoiled. I tell this story all the time. We went to my buddy's bachelor party in Ann Arbor for a Michigan game. He's a big Michigan fan. And on a Sunday, we're watching the NFL. We're leaving on Monday. We watch the NFL. We go to a sports bar. And the early game, I think we got one at like halftime. So we're watching the early games. And the Patriots are on a bye. So he goes, I can't believe you guys watch this trash every week. Talking about the rest of the NFL. Like, he was so above as a Patriots when the Patriots were in the heyday. He was like, I can't believe you guys watch this. It was like a pez. It was like if I saw you eating out of the garbage. I was like, dude, you are so spoiled. Like, it's crazy. Kansas kind of got like that, you know? Yeah. Like, it's yeah, I mean, what'd you win, 12 in a row? Like, that's insane.
14, I think.
14 in a row. It's insane. It's insane. Yeah. And it's – listen, I'm getting a little bit worried about my favorite 4 days in March in Kansas City. Like, I'm going to make the merch. I'm holding it out for you guys. But, yeah, I think it's not as sure thing anymore as I once thought. But that's great for the league. You're getting tested in and out. Now, I know some of these teams are leaving. You know, fuck them.
Yeah.
You'll get just as good tests with the guys coming in, you know, and you're obviously the one being chased. But, yeah, to answer your question, like, yeah, you got a little spoiled. Like, you never watched – Kansas lose. What? It's crazy. So you can have Jesus Christ. Like, look at where is their seed listing?
With Lenardi, they were the number one seed today.
I'm just saying.
Oh, the last 20 years, they haven't been lower than a four.
Bills have been worse than a four.
Le Francesco, like 1-3-1. Well, that was COVID. 4-1-1-1-2-2-1-1-2-2-3-1-3.
That's stupid.
He was a four in 2006. Like, come on. And all those
with a bunch of freshmen.
Those like first round exits, you know, we were like, oh, like self, you know, those early exits are like, man, they're a long time ago, dude.
He's only lost really in the first round twice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 05 and 06 back to back in the end.
Now in 14, he had the two exits, obviously, you know, back to back round twos. Second round. But then he went to Elite Eight, Final Four. So like the tournament's tough. And I just kind of talked about this too. Like, so look at the scape of the tournament, right? Oates. I think Oates is unbelievable. He's been to one Sweet 16.
We love Nate Oates.
Painter, no Final Fours. Hurley, never been in the Sweet 16. Otzelberger, young. Tommy Lloyd, second year. Texas has an interim coach. Dixon, no Final Fours. These are all championship contenders. So the lifers are either missing the tournament in Huggins, Izzo. Well, they'll make the tournament, but I don't think they're a championship factor. Boeheim. The lifers are few and far between. You guys got one of them. Now, I don't think having a lifer matters as much anymore, but, man, it sure helps to at least have that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. We're going to take a quick break for an ad. We'll be right back. I want to continue this discussion. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the fastest-growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Yeah, so Rico brought up all those coaches, and I think that's kind of been what we've said. You know, Coach K retires, Roy retires, Jay Wright shockingly retires. It felt like we've lost a lot of big dogs, and now all of a sudden Bill Self went from, he was always a top five coach, but now I think he's pretty clearly the best coach when you just go off resume and current status, the best coach in college basketball. I think it's hard to argue that right now, especially with what Calipari's got going on at Kentucky. But so in a way, it does kind of give me hope that if you get in a tournament with all those names you mentioned, that even if we do kind of hobble in or we're struggling with depth, can Bill Self maybe go on a little longer run than he maybe would have in the past. I don't know. Bill's always gone up well against the big dogs. Those haven't been the teams that have beat him. He's losing to the Northern Iowas, the VCUs. So I don't know if that makes sense. But I guess what do you kind of – is this a year that – I feel like this gets overset a lot, but is this a year where nobody is that great? Or do you – I mean, you mentioned Alabama and Purdue kind of being the favorites, but do you see a team that's going to just be – the heavy favorite? I guess Houston kind of is right now.
I think you're going to walk into the bar after Selection Sunday or sit down in the office and be like, who do you like? I love Alabama. Who do you like? I love Houston. I don't see a lot of people loving one team. Purdue, you know, like I said, I mean, Painter, he's been great. Hasn't been to a Final Four, you know, but they got somebody that nobody else has. Bama's, I could see myself, and it's not just being a homer, I could see myself, a lot of people talking themselves into Alabama.
Yeah. But I mean, now, Brandon, you know, Miller's so good.
He's unbelievable. And they're just very, very deep. But, like, I mean, look at the top 10 of KenPom. Houston, Tennessee, Alabama, UCLA, Purdue, Connecticut, St. Mary's is 7, Marquette, Texas, Kansas. It's a pretty wild top 10 that I think all teams are beatable. All teams are, you know, human. Don't have a ton. No team has like a ton of pros on it. You're like, all right, well, Texas has four pros. I'll talk myself. They don't have four pros. It's a weird year. I think a lot of people think it's a down year, but if you're watching in and out, there's a lot of really, really, really good teams. And I think the line separation where it used to be 1, 2, 3, maybe was way ahead of the 6, 7, 8s. I think the 8, 9s and 1s are real close. It's a real close gap. Like, shit, we're going to have Creighton. You know, like, Creighton's floating around. I think Iowa's got an unbelievable player, and they're finding themselves. They're going to be a dangerous 7.
Are we out on North Carolina? Because I got a future on them at, like, plus 4,500 or something crazy like that. And I'm trying to talk myself into them, making a little bit of a run.
I don't know if lightning strikes a bottle twice. You got to remember they were an 8 seed last year.
Yeah.
You know, were they up? They were up big on Baylor, and Baylor came back.
Yeah.
So they almost blew Baylor game, which that's how it goes in the tournament. Everybody kind of gets lucky. I think you guys survived. You really kind of waxed everybody. You survived Creighton. I want to say was the toughest one. Yeah.
They got it to a 1-point game with like a minute left.
Yeah, for sure. So I think to me, like, I don't think McDermott's the best coach, but that experience and playing that game probably helps Creighton a little bit, and they got some dudes. But yeah, I mean, just go through the 5, 7, 8, and 9 lines. It's not much difference between the 2s and 3s. There's really not.
But I was gonna say, like, even Houston and Tennessee, like you said, are the first two teams on KenPom, 1 and 2. They're obviously well coached. Kelvin Sampson, Rick Barnes. Those two teams don't really scare me. I know Tennessee kind of handed it to us, and they're both really good defensively.
Their offense is horrible.
Yeah, so I feel like they could have an absolute stinker in the tournament. Like, even Houston last year, they lost like 32-28 in the Elite Eight game against Villanova. So those two teams don't really scare me. Purdue, obviously, Edie's a monster. He's 8'7" and can dominate.
Can you imagine
the game,
KJ Adams going against Zach Edie in an Elite Eight game? Like, 7,
I think that's
under, 6,
that's
5.
Like when Rico just said, I think that's when we need to have 7 guys on the floor.
Yeah.
But listen, I asked them about it too. Like, St. Peter's beat them with a week of preparation. Like, the tournament's fucking crazy. And I think this year it's even crazier. So if I got Bill Self and I got Jalen Wilson, who's to me, kind of flying under the radar, being a fucking superstar. And you look at his progression of what he's done, like good, better, elite, championship ring. This kid can really play. Grady Dick's going to go hit some shots. Freshmen get wiser. You know, freshmen get better. If Harris can figure out whatever the hell is bothering him, like, you got the dudes, stay out of foul trouble. Kansas is still dangerous to me for sure. So yeah, this is going to be an interesting, interesting tournament.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
It's all matchup dependent too. Like, March is crazy. It's about getting hot. I feel like we had the same convo last year about not really a lot of people not knowing like what team they thought would win it all. I feel like there was no really clear cut favorite last year. Was there?
Well, Gonzaga got all the talk all year, but you always think Gonzaga's hard.
Gonzaga.
Yeah. All right.
Are we kind of disrespecting Gonzaga a little bit too this year? You know,
they keep finding, I guess they just had a bad loss, but they keep finding ways to win, and they are kind of, for the first time ever, they're kind of under the radar. Whereas a lot of times I feel like people think they're a bit overrated.
Yeah. I mean, and also they do it every year, whether people want to realize it or not. They're like, Gonzaga doesn't play anybody. The West Coast Conference, you're getting their best shot every night. That game is sold out. Like, Santa Clara and San Francisco, they don't just sell, maybe they do, but they don't just sell the Gonzaga game. Like, you got to buy the Gonzaga game and two others. You're not just because people want to go to that game. Everybody's getting that shot.
Sounds
Gonzaga's
like a school.
Non-conference schedule this year. What'd you say?
I said it sounded like a school a little bit west of us. That's what K-State does too for the KU game.
Yeah, for sure. It makes sense. Like,
I had a
Maryland Duke. I went to the last Maryland Duke game. Like, it is what it is. But Michigan State, Texas, Kentucky, Purdue, Xavier, Baylor, Alabama. Like, that's a lot of games in the non-conference, you know? And I think the pressure's getting to Few. The pressure's getting to Timmy. Like, they're gonna be balling out too. It's a one last run, at least one last run for Timmy. You know, Few's, now that Drew won one, Few's the best coach who's never won one.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. So, like, are we discounting Gonzaga? I think are a lot of people looking at Gonzaga being like, I got burnt so many times with them, I don't want to take a chance again. Now it might be that – I've said this every couple of 3 years, but maybe now is the time to get in on Gonzaga. You know, like, that's a team who's kind of floating under the radar. So, like,
there's been years where, like, KU has had, you know, like 2017, Kansas, Josh Jackson, Devontae Graham, Frank Mason. We choke in the Elite Eight, return in 2018, a solid team, but not a team that had huge expectations. All of a sudden, they go make a Final Four. Same with, like, 2011, Morris Twins, Thomas Robinson, those guys. They choke in the Elite Eight. The team with not as much expectation in 2012 makes the Natty. So, in a weird way, is Gonzaga going in with maybe a little less expectation, where they've been the last 2 years, they have been the favorites, clear Natty or bust. So, I am intrigued by Gonzaga. I don't hate Mark Few. I'd be fine if they won it. Timmy, you know, I think he's fun to watch, but he can be a little agitating at times. But – you know, I definitely am interested to see what Gonzaga turns out to be. Who do you like, Rico, Big 12-wise? If I said right now you got to pick a team to win the Big 12 and you can't say they tie between K-State, Texas, Baylor, KU, who are you taking?
I want to look at the schedule.
Dude, Iowa State's got to be in the combo too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Yeah,
they got a big one. That's a big one tonight in Ames, K-State, Iowa State.
Dude, if K-State wins that game, they are firmly in the driver's seat. They would have knocked off Baylor, Texas, and Iowa State on the road and assured a split with us. Like, they are – we'll see. But...
And back to Gonzaga, I think that's a team that could easily get hot in March. Like, they're the number three offense on KenPom. Bolton, Strother, obviously – Timmy is unreal. So obviously there's pressure on Few. He hasn't won a title, but like you said, they're flying under the radar. So they could go into March maybe with no pressure at all. I know Few needs to win one, but they're not going to be a one, are they?
I just checked. They're at three right now. So probably two to four range.
They could be under the radar going into March.
I think you guys are going to be in the mix. Like, times are low right now, but you got a lot of swing games at home. You know, you still got K-State at home. You got Texas at home. You got Baylor at home. They're running hot right now. And aside from you, I think we're getting a little overvalued because of who they beat other than Kansas. But I think Baylor is going to be in the conversation. If I had to guess, I'd pick Baylor. Yeah. But I still think, like I said, I think it's going to be kind of nobody's getting an outright title. Shock me.
Yeah.
If an outright title.
It would take a major, a big time finish down the stretch here. Yeah. To
and
win
everything's going,
outright.
Everything's going K-State's way right now. Everything. Yeah. Don't do, yeah. There's absolutely no way Kansas State doesn't lose back to backs as well.
Yeah.
I jokingly said that they're not going to win another game until like March. Just joking. Their schedule is very difficult. I'm a hater, so obviously I'll.
Yeah, but like I mean, I think playing in this league, I think is going to test you better than playing in the ACC. I think the ACC is down.
Yeah.
You know? Man. So listen, the Big 12, there's a reason it's back to back national champions.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, number 11 TCU is 4-3 in the league right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But those, right, none of take... those losses are bad. None what of did those we... losses are bad.
Yeah. Ryan, AB, what did we say last week we thought would win the Big 12 outright?
14-4.
I think it might be.
Which no
it might be
13-5.
Now.
I think it's going to be 12-6. I mean, if you think KU gets through the rest of the season with
well, it's not going to be us.
Less than three losses.
If it's 13-5, it's not going to be KU.
Oh,
but, like,
yeah.
You don't think K-State could go 13-5? I could. No.
Yeah, if you look at K-State's schedule the rest of the way, Iowa State, Kansas, Texas, TCU, Iowa State, Baylor, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So go.
I'd love for someone to point out the win. Like, what game are they winning?
Fair enough, but go 500 in that, let's say, at worst. They also have Texas Tech, Oklahoma, both on the road, Oklahoma State on the road, Oklahoma and West Virginia. So – even if they go 1-4, I think they might go 4-1 the other way, you know. Yeah. But that puts them at 6 losses, 7 losses. Like, you ain't getting out of this league with anything more than 6 or 7 losses.
Their next 4 is against top 12 teams. Well, at least they have Florida coming up, but their next 4 Big 12 games. And if they win in Ames or they win in Lawrence, we can start talking about them maybe winning the Big 12. And the way we've been playing at Allen, we just got blown out, obviously. And then the last 3 were super close, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. So I feel like that game, like I feel like a lot of our fans think we're going to blow them out because we already lost them. But I feel like that's going to be a tight game at Allen.
I'm taking alt spread KU minus 15.
We've seen it before.
We have to. all right, let's take our last break. And then I think we're going to wrap up a little quick snake draft. And then we'll finish this up.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
All right, so we're going to do a quick snake draft. This was AB's idea, so I'm going to let AB lay this out. Just a fun little friendly competition to track as the season goes on. So go ahead, AB.
Yeah, I was just sitting there at halftime last night and thought about some ideas and figured we could, you know, we like drafting stuff on here. So figured we would, what do you guys think, 3 or 4 teams each? Maybe 4 to make it even?
Yeah.
And if team makes the final 4, you get 3 points. If that same team wins the championship, you get an additional 3 points. And conference outright, does that sound good? Regular season outright?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, that's an additional point. And then we can just track it throughout the year. And then whoever wins gets – a replica trophy or something. I don't know, but
I'll give you one stat now that I'm looking on Gonzaga. It just jumped out to me. They're 90th in defensive efficiency. Yeah. The last time they finished outside the top 50 was 2010. They were 63, and then 2007, 87, and 2006, 174, which probably is the reason Morrison's, his party got spoiled, but yeah, Gonzaga's got to figure it out defensively is what we're really trying to with that team.
We live and die on this podcast. All last year, KU's defense was not in the top 20 of KenPom. And what I don't remember the stat, but it's like the last however many teams outside of maybe UConn 2014, they're always top 20 in offense and defensive efficiency. And KU last year just slowly, slowly crept up. By the time we hit Sweet 16, we were there. So Gonzaga's got a long way to get into that criteria if you live and die by that one. All right, how do we want to do draft order, AB? You just going to – or should we let Rico go first because he's the guest of honor?
We know who he's going to take number one.
Let's start with Rico.
Yeah, to keep it fair, let's – odds and even.
All right.
And then eliminate a guy. and then we go.
Yeah.
All ready? Right. Ready, set, yeah. Go. Wait.
What do you got? What are these guys?
Three scissors.
I wasn't ready.
No, it's odds and evens. You dummies.
All right, let's do it again.
Open. All right. Oh,
this is a disaster.
One, ready? Two, three.
Who's got the two? All right, you go first. Ryan's going first.
He's got whatever. Well, yeah, we'll go Rye.
Ryan, go first.
And Rye, then just Rico, me. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
All right. All right, I'm taking my first pick. Matt Painter has to make a Final Four. The guy has to make a Final Four. I think Zach Edey's a monster. I cannot believe they lost to St. Peter's. I love Alabama, but they're a little streaky, live and die by the three. Those teams stress me out a little bit. I'll take Purdue, my number one pick.
Sure. Feels like an auto up? Point for the conference. We'll go Braden, Rico, yeah. Me, and then back around.
I'm going to steal Bama from Rico. Oh, I love Nate Oates. I think they're due to go on a deep run too. I know Nate Oates hasn't been there that long, but I love watching them. Electric. Brandon Miller, we obviously talked about him. He's great. And I love watching Bama play. I'm a huge Nate Oates fan. Everyone on the pod is too. So I'll take Alabama.
I'll go with a guy who's quietly like building something pretty good down there. I'll take Houston, because if you're giving me points for a regular season title, they're an absurd number to win that. So I'll grab a couple there. And then I think it's pretty easy for them to get to the Sweet 16. Like, the current eights and nines are Indiana, New Mexico, Arkansas, Iowa, Clemson, Florida Atlantic, Wisconsin, Missouri. I think Houston imposes their will, squeezes them defensively, makes it ugly. Especially some of those teams want to play slow, which is their style. I'll take Houston right now.
I could see them. See them winning a second round game like 66-37 or something. Just dominating someone defensively.
Yeah, they're good.
I'll take UCLA to round out the first. Core that's been together for a while. They've made a run before. They're fourth in KenPom right now, so I'll take it. And then, Rye, like you said, with Painter, I'm going to do that with Rick Barnes, so I'll take Tennessee. I know he's got his tournament issues in the past, but shit, if I can take number two and number four in KenPom, I'll go ahead and chalk those
two. I'll be honest. Tennessee being 31 on KenPom offensively, they're better than I thought. I really thought they were a lot worse than that. So
five guys in double digits. I don't like Rick Barnes. I don't trust Rick Barnes, but five guys in double digits, and then their sixth leading scorer is at 9 points a game. I think they might just be a sum of the parts type team. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to probably fade Tennessee, but I could see myself getting burnt.
All right. Back to Rico.
It's gonna get hard. I feel like third or fourth round.
Oh no,
no, that is good.
Not a big, no Big 12 teams.
You know what?
So
just because I said it and I talked it up, and they'll figure it out defensively. Give me Gonzaga. They're gonna win that. They'll probably win that conference. St. Mary's gonna make a run at them. They'll still be a high seed in name alone. Few's gonna have pressure. Give me Gonzaga.
He just took two auto conference champions, pretty much. I guess St. Mary's could give them a run, but maybe, yeah, Houston,
he took Tennessee.
Yeah, UCLA and Tennessee.
Okay, I'm gonna take a shot on a team I feel like I can't figure out, but I'm gonna take a shot on a team I think could get super hot in March, because I think they can score with anyone in the country, and they have the guys to do it. I like Arizona.
Hell yeah,
Tabellus, their guard play, Kirkrisa. Larson also, Ramey, who has struggled at times, but Omar Ballo too. So they got a lot of length, and they have guard play too. Tommy Lloyd, we love him too. So I'm going to take a shot on Arizona getting hot.
I love it. That was my next pick. So instead, I'm going to be a homer. We've said it. Boy. We've got Bill Self. We got the best coach in the country. We win the Big 12 every freaking year. Hey. Watch us get hot. No team. When's the last time a defending champ made a Sweet 16 AB, or is it Elite Eight?
Elite Eight. That. It was Florida when they went back to back. That's like 16 years.
We're due. A team is due to make a defending champ is due to make a run. Give me the Hawks. I'll take the Hawks. Oh, and then that's me again. Holy shit. I wasn't prepared. I will then take. Since I'm going to kind of double up on Big 12 here, because you got to think Big 12 is getting a Final Four team. So I'm going to go Baylor. I think Baylor's going to really get things going. I think Keontae George is going to get better as we go on and could be one of those guys that just goes off in March.
Damn it. That's who I was going to take, dude. Now I'm not ready. Actually, no, I am ready. A team, you guys might laugh at this, a team I've loved all year. I bet on them like 6 or 7 times, which is probably disgusting since it's only January. But they also have a lot of length. Fremantle, Nungy. I like their guard play. I love Xavier. I think that's a team that could get hot in March also. So I like their guard play, and they have a lot of bigs. I like Xavier.
55-1 I'm holding. I got a pretty good portfolio. Kansas at 15, wow. Bama at 25, Xavier at 55.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
Love that Bama value.
Just need one.
Good.
Just need one. Yeah, you just need one. I'll go – I was looking at the Big 12. You guys kind of nabbed them.
I feel like no one's going to take K-State. And they're on the two line right now.
They are. I'll go with the – Yeah, you know what? I'm buying Tang a little bit. I know it's probably sacrilegious on this podcast, but they got some scores. I'll go with K-State.
You buy Tang?
Yeah, I do. I think Tang's – I mean, he's got – it's a good culture down there. He knows how to win. Noel's not afraid to take big shots. Everything Keontae Johnson's been through. Kansas State's a – you can't write them off. You can't write them off in the corner. Whether you think they're going to win it or not, they're a decent team here in the third round or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Would you trust TCU or K-State more in March?
I think TCU's got more experience, and TCU's got some dudes, and Dixon. I don't know. I TCU just by a hair.
God, TCU should have beat Arizona last year, man. They were so good in that second round game, but they're so inconsistent. We'll see.
All right, I was going to take K-State and mend some bridges, but I think I'm going to stick with old reliable here and go Virginia.
I knew it.
I really don't even like it, but I just kind of have to. But like Rico was saying earlier, the coaches that are left, how many of them have won a championship in the last 5 years?
No, we're going to get a first champ. Unless Bill wins it, but yeah, I think you'll get a debut champion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then, I guess I'll take TCU. I don't know. Big 12, you might as well ride them. I really don't like that pick at all, but we're kind of slim pickings right
now. We always talk about, like, Miles just – he has that look of a guy that could become, like, a March guy. Like, there's always those good guards that just figure it out in March, and I could see that being the case with him. But I like that pick.
Yeah. And then you know what? I'll go crazy deep. It's back to me.
Yep.
I'll go Creighton.
I like it.
I think Creighton's a dangerous team. Like, I was, yeah. I'll be honest, I was looking at Miami. Miami's 90th or a hunt. What are they in defensive efficiency?
I can find it in a sec.
I got it up. I don't even. They are 139.
Yeah, but Miami's like really good. Yeah. I mean, there's, you can find the flaw in pretty much every team except two, I think, this year.
Yep. Yep.
So Creighton's sitting at 29 offense, 22 defense. Some dudes on that team. Maybe McDermott finally breaks through. You know, Nembhard, Shireman, they got really good guys. God, so
they're 11-8. That's
so
crazy.
Talented.
I'll take a shot on Creighton.
Yeah, I was thinking about taking a shot on UNC. I think they're going to be in the 8-9 game again, like they were last year.
Jesus Christ, do you know what seed Creighton is right now? Sorry,
8 or 9,
a 10.
Wow.
You see that, you're a 2 seed, like that could be us. Imagine we saw them in the 1-9. That shit is scary.
Yeah, preseason top 10. I mean, they got to elevate themselves off that line, but
yeah.
Like, Duke's a 6, too. Duke ain't a 6.
Yeah. I don't think they're even good.
No.
When we wrap this up, I want a quick question to Rico about Duke. So
I'm going to take a team. I think they're on the 5 line or so right now. But they're 9th in offensive efficiency and 12th defense. They're the 6th team on KenPom, UConn.
Yeah.
Which I think they're flying under the radar. I can't figure them out. Obviously, they got Sanogo, who's a monster. I don't know if you can run through bigs in March, but I'm going to take a shot on UConn, top 6 team in KenPom.
Jimmy Dyke said, don't count them out.
Yep.
Jimmy.
All right. Last one. I don't love this pick, but for whatever reason, I can't stray away from these guys. You return five starters from a team, or four starters that went to a national title game. The Tar Heels creeping back up. I'll take North Carolina for my fourth pick. They're top 25 in KenPom. I don't know. I just – part of me wonders, is North Carolina coasting a little bit? Are they like, whatever, we figured it out last March. When we get there, we'll figure it out. Seed doesn't matter. Or – like Rico said, was it just lightning in a bottle? Probably lightning in a bottle, but you never know. Experience is huge, huge come March. So don't love it, but I'll take it.
And they're what, on the 8 or 9 line right now? And that's what they were last year. And we just talked about how there's not a dominant team. So maybe they'll see a 1 in the second round that they have a really good chance to beat. I mean, the talent's there. They lose Brady Manick. They replace him with Nance from Northwestern, but they still got RJ Davis, Caleb Love, Baycott.
All right, so the 2s are Tennessee, UCLA, Arizona, Texas. The 7s will be Illinois, North Carolina, North Carolina State, and Michigan State. And the 10s would be Boise, Creighton, Arizona State, and Memphis. I kind of write off Arizona State, but, I mean, they can go get somebody. Memphis is really good. They got an All-American type player. Creighton's really good. Like, man, this tournament, I think you can – I'll talk to the Barstool Sportsbook. Man, we can get like a – no 1 or 2s to make the final 4.
Yeah, it feels
45 to 1. Like, what? It's very possible.
That'd be an interesting one. Like, Illinois as a 7, I know they've had some really rough goes this year. I don't know what the deal is with them, but they are freaking talented, and they would terrify me to see them in March. And Underwood.
I watched them beat Texas. It was right after the Beard was there, I think.
Yeah, I think that was one of his last games there.
Jimmy V, I think Beard was still there.
Yeah.
We picked a lot of Big 12 teams in there. What do you guys think about Iowa State in March? They're obviously really good defensively. Otzelberger, like you said, is young. Sometimes they can't score. And then no one picked Texas. I think they're a top 10 KenPom team right now. They're a top 10 team in the country. But, yeah, they lost their coach, obviously.
Yeah, I got two reasons for not liking them. I can't picture an interim winning a championship, and Iowa State just doesn't succeed in the tournament.
So, and Texas really gave up 116 points to K-State. I'm never picking a team that gives up 116 points on their home floor. So, all right. So, Rico, I wanted to ask this last question before we wrap up. You kind of a Duke guy, I think a Duke guy growing up. You talked about that last time you came on the show. We were making jokes about Coach K. Well, now Shire's back, or Shire's there. He's the guy. And they've been unhealthy, but it definitely hasn't gone smooth. I don't think any Duke fans love how things have gone. And I'll be honest, it's been weird for me because you don't tune into Virginia Tech on Monday night just – ready to hate Duke and pray they lose. Like, if Coach K leaving has changed to me kind of how I view Duke. So, as a kind of a Duke guy, do you think Shire can continue to get them to that point where they are just that hated, hated team? Or did that leave with Coach K? And I guess, what do you think of Shire so far?
Yeah, it's funny. I just talked to Fran a little bit about it too, Priscilla, and he was like, not all number one classes are created equally. So, if you look at this Duke class, like Filipkowski is their best player. I don't really love what he's doing. Dariq Whitehead, you thought was going to be smashing backboards and scoring 40. He's just kind of okay. And the ACC is not that great. Proctor, like, it's not. Yeah. Do I think Shire can get there and turn it around? For sure. Because they're always going to have, they're going to be in the mix of recruiting for sure. But what I will say is watch out. Because if all of a sudden you're not in the mix, I think that recruiting edge fades a little bit. It's like, man, now we're a 10 class. Ooh, now we're a 15 class. Like, I say it all the time. I think if Carolina and Duke didn't hire the right guys and we reset this clock in like 5 years, that rivalry is going to take a big – it's still going to matter. We're still going to watch it. But you're going to be like, yeah, you're better off putting on ESPN Classic. Because it's not as great as it was. You know, I think the coaches go with the personality. Like, the coaches go with the rivalry. You needed to see Dean and Roy and Kay out there, you know?
Hubert and Sean Shire just aren't doing it.
It wasn't even bad blood with them because they played the respect card. Like, they were never at each other's throats. You know, they were never, like, separated. It was a good, heated rivalry. But, yeah, I think if they don't hire the right guys here – It's going to be interesting to see how this rivalry goes.
How bad does that have to get for Coach K to come back, make a little comeback, Bill Snyder
style? I think he still kind of wants to come back, to be honest with you. I don't know if the game – I don't know if I – like, even now, like, we're joking around, like, Kentucky, Texas, those jobs are – like, who do you call? You make Jay Wright say no. You know, yeah. If Jay Wright, whatever he was, 60 years old, couple of titles, you know, grown kids, like, if his heart's not in it, I don't want him back. Like, I'm not willing to take that for a guy. It's like when Phil Jackson went back to the Knicks. Like, he mailed it in. He mailed it in. If your heart – and I'm not saying Jay Wright's going to do that, but, like, if your heart's not in it, go somewhere else. You know, like, go without that. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's
interesting.
Were you absolutely shocked the first time you turned on a KU game this year and Mitch Lightfoot wasn't on the team?
Yes. Yeah, I was. It's fun. Perry Ellis, too, it's – yeah, Kansas still has those guys. Like, it's good to have Wilson. Like, it's a familiarity. Yeah. Like, it's rare now. Everybody's relying on freshmen and, you know, like.
I love pointing this out, and I think people are sick of me saying it, but, like, DeJuan Harris is still going to be Kansas's point guard in March of 2025, and that blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, with the Duke Carolina is, like, the players stuck around. You knew who was going to be there for a while. They lived in that rivalry. Like, all right, we got Hansborough again. You know, we got Redick again. Like,
yeah, you got Hansborough and Henderson again after Henderson cut him open the year before. Like, yeah, we need that stuff back.
With kids on a rental, it's hard to get emotionally involved.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, like the Kentucky people, like, that's why I think they might go the way of go different from Cal, whether he realizes it or not. It's like, you're bringing in rental guys here, you know, and like, that's great if you win a title, but it's the guys like Wilson and Brown who come in and win you a title and are there for a little while, you know? So,
yep. I love Bill's. Bill Self has done a good mix of both. You know, he gets a Grady Dick to put them in, but he's got to have experience around those guys for us to succeed. So,
yeah.
And then that's
why I think Bama is really, really dangerous because they have a couple of guys around like Jay Duke, you know, sixth and,
Quinterly.
Clowney's obviously a freshman. Well, Quinterly. Trying to think of the other guy they brought back. Bediako is a sophomore, at least. Yeah. Like, he, you know, at least just a couple. They're not senior laden, I'll be honest. But to mix – oh, Mark Sears is a transfer. He's an upperclassman. So to bring in those upperclassmen with the star freshmen, that's when you can go win it, you know?
Yep.
So I was going to ask all you guys this, but – we beat Iowa State at home. We're all in on them potentially repeating. And then even K-State, they lose in overtime where three starters foul out, and we still are all in. They get blown out at home, and then obviously they lose last night. So where are we at with this team potentially repeating?
If we can go – Kentucky game I don't care about. I really don't. I don't want to lose to them 2 years in a row. But, like, if we can go in and beat K-State and then go in and win in Ames – to me, I think we're back. You take out the top two teams in the Big 12 at this point, one of which is on the road, one of which is your rival. I feel like that. I feel like this K-State home game is going to be a great reset for this team. So I think we've laid out this whole pod. There isn't some massive favorite. Now, yeah, we see Purdue in the Elite Eight. I don't like our chances going up against Edy, but I think we can get on the right path, and we've seen how quick Bill can get things rolling in late in conference play. So
yeah, I was like, all right, we got like, yeah, it's hard to repeat, but I still put them at the front. I was saying forever. I was like, or forever for the last couple of weeks. I was like, it's Kansas's title until somebody proves them wrong. Now, some people have kind of proved them wrong. So they've moved. They looked away, and somebody cut them in line. There's not many people in front of them in line. They'll still get into the club. But I think they're waiting a little bit. So repeat confidence. I think I bumped it maybe from like – it's unrealistic to say anything above 50% your confidence to repeat just because how hard it is. So let's say we started at the highest we can at 49. I think maybe I bumped it back down to like 35 in terms of confidence. Now, do I say there's a 35% chance they repeat? Absolutely not. But like just in terms of like the hot and cold meter, I've only moved from warm to lukewarm. I haven't moved to like – freezing cold, fire Bill Self, change the color, cancel the arena. Like, I'm not panicking, but I'm also not in it like you guys, you know? So,
I mean, it's really just like the whole starting lineup outside of Jalen decided to have their worst 10-day stretch they've had all season. Like, McCullough has just been I don't know what to do with McCullough at this point. I'm sure Bill will figure that out. That's his job. But it's been insane how frustrating that man has been for the last three games.
Yeah, I mean,
and then DeJuan struggling, KJ was like peaking, and now he's kind of fallen off a little bit. And it's like those all happen at the same time. If any team in the country were to have that happen to their second best player through their fifth best player, they're probably also going to lose three games in a row. So I'm not like panic mode yet, but there are signs of concern that would cause me to not think that they're going to go back and do it again.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I think there's going to be very few teams that won't lose back-to-backs. I mean, UCLA lost back-to-backs early. I know Bama hasn't yet. But
Baylor lost three straight like a month ago.
Few and far between of teams losing back-to-back, not losing back-to-backs. So that's part of it all.
Then we talk about the experience thing. Like Kevin McCullough was on a Texas Tech team that went to a national title game. He didn't play a ton. And then you got Jalen, DeJuan, guys that won a national championship last year. So they got experience. And I think, AB, this is probably a question for you, but I mean, KU still got a good chance to be, I mean, maybe on the one line, but the two line. Like I'm thinking about 2013-14 with Wiggins where they lose double digit games. I think they lost 10 games and they were still on the two line. So I think KU obviously still has a great chance to at least share the Big 12 and be on the two line, maybe worst case three, and could still be a one.
Yeah. So can I throw this hypothetical out if we have time, just really quick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before we get too deep into bracketology in the next couple months, but we'd rather be the 2 seed in Kansas City than the 1 seed in like Vegas or something, right? Keep everything at home.
I think we all got to take Kansas City.
Des Moines, Kansas City, Final Four.
Starring moments in Kansas City in the Elite Eight, but like give me a packed T-Mobile Center.
Yeah, Rico, I don't know if you knew that, but the Midwest Regionals in Kansas City this year.
Okay, so how does that work? Is it the same place as the Big 12?
Yep.
Yeah.
So in 2017, when we were Josh Jackson, Devontae Graham, Frank, we were 8-point favorites against Oregon in Kansas City, and we got fucking shit pumped. One of the worst losses.
Here's the question I have. You can only play 3 games. Does that only apply to the regular season?
That's only regular season.
Yeah.
Okay, so
only play one. We always play one Sprint Center, T-Mobile Center now game per year, plus the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah. So if Purdue's the one and you guys are the two in that line, or the three, or even the four, and they put you in Kansas City, that one's going to be crying. That's going to be going on right away in Selection Sunday.
What year was it? 2019? We got the 4 seed in the Midwest, and it was in Kansas City, and we lost in the second round. So if we would have made the Sweet 16, we would have been there.
It's not always a lock to go get that spot. And then geographically, teams can pop up out of nowhere. Like Connecticut, when they were a 7 or whatever, it was in the Garden. They didn't expect – you can't expect them to be in the Garden.
Yeah.
You know, but then all of a sudden they're there, and it's like, oh, shit. The whole place is blue. So,
it'll be interesting. We've certainly got a climb now to get to that point, but we'll take it. So, all right. Well,
turn it around because I want to wear my shirt and my hat in March. So, I want to unveil it. I'm making something custom. Nice.
All right, well, reoccurring guest Rico Bosco, we appreciate you coming on. We appreciate you calming KU fans down because we can panic with the best of them. So we'll see. We'll see if we can get this back on the road and get things going smoothly. But we appreciate you coming on and making us feel a little better. Best you can.
Yeah, anytime. It's not full panic, but I've cooled the jets a little bit. So like I said, but we'll see. So anytime. I enjoy this thing. Obviously, I love Kansas. You know, got myself back to even last year with all those futures for the last 15 years. So it's good to be back.
Yeah. All right. We appreciate it. See you, man.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all 6 of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current. Plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.